ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 We are reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 10, text number 15. Arjuna is trying to glorify Lord Supreme Personality of God, Lord Shri Krishna. Complete cognizance of who Krishna is, and tells the fact as it is. He has not yet been experiencing the presence of the Lord in the material world. But Krishna is telling him something that induces him to speak up. In the verse number 6, Krishna is telling that Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo Matta Sarvam Pravartate, and it means through me everything is emanating, and through everything, I mean me alone, everything is sustained. So he describes in the 6th chapter that 7 great rishis, and before them were 4 other great sages, the 4 kumaras. The Manus, progenitor of mankind, come from me, born from my own mind, and all living beings populating in various planets descend from them. That is exactly the creation by Lord Brahma, that Lord Krishna is asserting that actually, because he is the seed-giving father, he is the original cause of. Brahma wanted creative energy, so he begged from me, and I gave him, so he can populate in this material. But actually, I am the original seed-giving father. Sarva yoni shukante murtayanti sambhavanti ja tasha mahadyonir aham bija pradaptika. In every species of life, know that I am the original seed-giving father. So, a father and mother cannot manufacture a baby. They become the via media. Is she going away? Haribo!
I'm so sorry, actually, I have to go.
Why?
Unfortunately, we have some assignment tomorrow.
Okay.
It's a group assignment, so they can't start without me.
All right, are you doing all right?
Yeah.
Okay, I will tell your sister.
She'll ask you. How's your health?
All right. I was chanting and you disappeared. I said, what's that?
I was just telling you, how do I leave?
Okay. Anyway, you can go.
So you're leaving tomorrow?
Yeah. That's fine. I'll come again.
Okay.
Hare Krishna. So, the whole world is populated because Brahma wanted to serve the Lord. So, how he can serve? Being the progenitor, Prajapati, Adi Prajapati, Brahma. Krishna is granted, but that doesn't mean that Krishna has become totally eloped or disappeared. So generally Mayavadis start telling about the population of the world where trinity of the three truths, that Brahma the creator, Vishnu the maintainer, and Shiva the destroyer. You know, but they don't understand these facts that are corroborated in Bhagavad Gita first. Otherwise, do you think all of a sudden Krishna is coming and claiming that he is God and nobody else? How is it? Because Mayavadis are not in depth, you know, scrutinizingly studying the whole aspect. So when Krishna is telling that I am the origin of everything and through me everything is sustained, so Arjun was very, very inquisitive, you know. He is asking about what is the proof that my Lord, you are pervading everywhere. So vibhutis mean manifested energies in the material world. And Krishna describes the vibhuti. But Krishna also gives as a very priority only to be exposed to whom he pleases. And he does not tell anybody like this. You know, in conversation between friend and friend, you know, unless and until there is a relationship built, confidence is built, and some interactions are taking place, then and then each other can reveal their own heart. So Krishna is reasserting before telling the vibhuti that it's only by devotional service that I am pleased to reveal this. And devotees are always talking about my glories. Machitta, Matigata Prana, Bodhya, Parasvaram. That is their business. So this is also one of the efforts to tell about Lord Shri Krishna and his glorification. But how to accept this glorification in truth? Arjuna is revealing. He has not yet seen the vibhuti. Krishna has not started enumerating. But the fact is to be accepted in the first place that we should repose our faith on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the most initial aspect. That is called Adarshanta. In taking shelter to the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that should have a conviction that Lord Krishna will protect me. He will protect me. He will not let me fall down because I am soul surrendered. And I want to surrender, and Krishna will make all the means available, so he will be always protected. Association of the devotee is also one of the way Krishna provides, and those who are willing to come to the lotus feet of the Lord, they will be given that. So, when Arjun is asserting with that faith, because that is a theoretical acceptance, because everybody says, Arjun doesn't have any objection. What he says, that pavitram paramam bhavan purusham shashvatam divyam adidevam ajam vibhum. Just like you say, so you must be, you know, the original personality of Godhead. Shashvatam, eternal. I have heard also from the lineage, disciplic succession, Ahustvam Rushaya Sarva Devarsi Naradastata Asitola Devalo Vyasa. And now you are telling the same thing. Right. So this is at least a theoretical acceptance that we must have by our conviction of understanding the philosophy, and that is, philosophy is theoretical. You can't chew philosophy. Can you taste philosophy? No. But you can convince your, you know, so at least on the basis of the absolute truth, yes. This is called philosophical persuasion. That is what is needed. not theological conversion. You know, people do convert. You know, and Vishwa Hindu Parishad people also adopted the same method of conversion. Just sprinkle some water and they are re-inducted into Hindu fold. Because Muslims do conversion, the Christians do conversion, why not Hindus? That is their philosophy. But Prabhupada's philosophy doesn't need conversion. It is the change of the heart, because in the heart the soul is becoming conversant with the absolute truth. So by comparative, if somebody claims, how do you compare it? How do you, you know, assert? Unless somebody else also told. So, ahustvam rushaya, you have been told like this, and that you are origin of everything, then sarva devarshi, Narad, tatha asit devara vyasa, swayam chevi brivishnime. So, what you have said is according to the same parampara. You know, all these great sages are also telling. So no objection. Therefore, you know, sarva metha dattam manye. Manye means at least I'm establishing this in my mind that this is fact. Alright? But you have to show me. It's still it's remaining. So Krishna will tell, yes, okay. First you have faith, then I'll show you. Prabhupada was asked by somebody, have you seen God? And Prabhupada said, why should I tell you? Why should I tell you? Do you have faith on me? You have to establish the faith, adav shraddha. How would you nurture the faith? Tatos sadhu sangha. Then you enter into the process that is practical. Then your faith will be confirmed when you remove the unwanted things, nishtha will come. So that is the real way, a scientific way to progress. It's not that you show me chamatkar, then I'll do namaskar. That's a foolish way to go. You have to first start with the faith. You have to start with the faith. So, faith has to be put both theoretical, and then according to that faith, when you do practice, you will surely get the result. Alright? So, philosophical persuasion is here. Because the predecessors are telling and you are telling the same, therefore I have no objection, I accept this manye within my mind, then whatever you say is the truth, you know. So there is a good faith. This is called good faith. Have a good faith. Right? So then nahite bhagavan vyakti vidur daiva anadanava. Now it is a question. If I have faith, whatever you have spoken, then I believe. But what about your personality? Even it is not accessible to the demigods and demons, then I am simply accepting on the strength of
disciplic succession.
Anuman. Inference is also a proof. If Krishna is telling something and rishis are telling the same thing, then that is called inference, that now that must be some. So inference is also a proof, right? So now he's putting up that if this is the case, because you are the origin, then you must be the source of all the energies also. This particular verse is coming after sarvameta dhritam manye yanvan vadasi keshava nahi de bhagavan vyakti vidurdevana dhanava. Oh Krishna, I totally accept as truth all that you have told me. Neither the demigods nor the demons, oh Lord, can understand your personality. So now let's see. Arjuna is telling, స్వయమేవాత్మమాత్మానం వ్యక్తత్వం పురుషోత్తమ భూతభావన భూతేశ దేవదేవ జగత్పతే. Indeed, you alone know yourself by your own internal potency. O Supreme Person, origin of all, Lord of all beings, God of all gods, Lord of the universe. And Srila Prabhupada is putting the purport. The Supreme Lord Krishna can be known by persons who are in relationship with Him through the discharge of devotional service, like Arjuna and his followers. Persons of demoniac or atheistic mentality cannot know Krishna. Mental speculation that leads one away from the Supreme Lord is a serious sin. Impersonality. And one who does not know Krishna should not try to comment on Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is a statement of Krishna, and since it is the science of Krishna, it should be understood from Krishna as Arjuna understood. It should not be received from atheistic person. We were talking for impersonalists and mayavadis, those who have taken liberty to not only translate but to comment on Bhagavad Gita. Can you imagine how much havoc they must have created in the material world?
Freedom of choice.
No, it's called stealing. Freedom of choice doesn't mean you can steal. Well, it is my choice to steal from you. Is it called freedom, or you'll be confined? You'll be put behind the bars. You can express your thought, not anything else. In conduct, you must behave properly. You may call yourself, you are mad. Okay, you are mad. Who cares? But don't do anything mad. Otherwise, you'll be confined. Actions are more visible. That's it. Your words are louder than... The actions are louder than the words. So, be aware of actions. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, second chapter, 11th verse, Vadanti tattva vidas tattvam yad jnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabdate. The Supreme Truth is realized in three aspects: as impersonal Brahman, localized Paramatma, and at last the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So at the last stage of understanding the Absolute Truth, one comes to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A common man or even a liberated man who has realized impersonal Brahman or localized Paramatma may not understand God's personality. Such men, therefore, may endeavor to understand the Supreme Person from verses of Bhagavad Gita which are being spoken by this person, Krishna. Sometimes the impersonalists accept Krishna as Bhagwan or they accept his authority. Yet many liberated persons cannot understand Krishna as Purushottam, the Supreme Person. Therefore, Arjuna addresses him as Purushottam. Yet one may still not understand Krishna. Is that he is the father of all living entities. Therefore, Arjuna addresses him as Bhutabhavana. And if one comes to know him as the father of all living entities, still one may not know him that is the Supreme Controller. Therefore, his address here is Bhutesha, the Supreme Controller of everyone. And even if one knows Krishna as the Supreme Controller of all living entities, still one may not know that he is the origin of all the demigods. Therefore, he is addressed here is Devadeva, the worshipable God of all the demigods. And even if one knows him as the worshipful God of all demigods, one may not know that he is the supreme proprietor of everything. Therefore, he is addressed as Jagatpati. Thus, the truth about Krishna is established in this verse by realization of Arjuna. And we should follow in the footsteps of Arjuna to understand Krishna as he is. This verse is so much significant that to understand the Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You do not require impersonal realization. You do not require meditation. But because Arjuna was related to Krishna in devotion, in devotion, so only by undivided devotional service Krishna will be revealing in completeness. People are taking so much liberty to discuss on Bhagavad Gita simply on the basis of some impersonal concoctions. When there is nothing before you, then you can start imagining so many things about it. Well, isn't it hallucination? When there is nothing perceptible. But yet, you want to take liberty, freedom of choice. Isn't it madness? When there is nothing. Impersonal means nirakar and nirgun. And you take liberty to express your ideas which are whimsical, does not support by Krishna or the personality himself, neither the lineage. So what authority do they have to discuss Bhagavad Gita? What authority do they have? Do you think they believe in Krishna? But yet, there are so many commentators, and most of them are impersonalists and mayavadis. They use Bhagavad Gita to make profit, to make them famous. And if somebody is famous, then his glorious crown will not be understood unless and until he touches the subject matter of Bhagavad Gita. So even when he is a president of India, he will be induced to write commentary on Bhagavad Gita in personalist. To dissuade people, they say Britishers paid him to make him fool. Yes, that is the fact. So the point is, the excess of understanding the personality aspect is reserved only to the personal conception that is Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that is the subject matter of the devotees. It's not the subject matter of impersonalist or mayavadi, but because they want to cheat and they want to steal the authority of the devotees, they become envious and they start describing there's so much intricate aspects in their own so-called flowery language, and that will mislead people more. They will see the language but not the tattva. So they will glorify the linguistic person. Oh, he's a great orator, he's this and he's that. So because he's great, whatever he's writing must be accepted. But this is how impersonalism and mayavad is infested. But Srila Prabhupada's commentary, you can see, it is so much linked up to very stage-wise acceptance. You know, that how Arjuna did it, we must follow in his footsteps. Otherwise, what is the use? Arjuna was the first recipient of Bhagavad Gita. Direct recipient. The way he accepts, the way he shows us the way to understand Lord Shri Krishna, who will be better person? Those who are simply by the namesake, taking up a position and pride, They can't make us understand. So, I would like to talk on this systematic analysis that Srila Prabhupada gave, that why Krishna is addressed as Purushottam, why he is addressed as Bhuta Bhavan, why he is addressing as Bhutesh, why he is addressing as Devadeva, and why he is addressing as Jagatpite. There's so much sequential. This is Supreme Personality of Godhead, and everything, both of his personality aspect, the character aspect, his supremacy aspect, you name any attribute of a person will be applied. And can anyone challenge that? Impersonalists will never analyze like that. And Prabhupada will take it. You know. That's it. Prabhupada says, a common man, or even a liberated man, who has realized impersonal Brahman or localized Paramatma may not understand God's personality. Such men, therefore, may endeavor to understand the Supreme Person from the verses of Bhagavad Gita, which are being spoken by this person, Krishna. So sometimes impersonalists accept Krishna as Bhagavan, or they accept his authority. When they accept Bhagavan, they will simultaneously say, yeah, Bhagavan is nirgun, nirankar. Then what do we say to them? Impersonalists, sometimes they accept, what you are talking and what we are talking is the same thing. Brahman and Bhagavan are the same. Right? Qualitative same. Not quantitative same. One is impersonal, another is personal. How can we be same? But he will say, no. We are talking the same thing. Right? So sometimes they say, yes, Bhagwan, we know what you mean. You know? But ultimate is impersonal, nirguna, nirakar. Have you heard any time?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Make distinction who you are listening from. This is a controversial thing. They accept in one point, yes, what you say is Bhagwan and what we say is Brahman, both are same. But Bhagwan, with the personality, the ultimate of him is impersonal. Nirgun nirankar. Bhagwan to nirgun hai nirankar. They will say. And then how would you respond? I know in Chicago, when I was president for 1 month, in 1979, Morarji Desai came because he was fighting a court case of defamation. The Samuel Hertz, one of the publishers, big publisher, giant, you know, while he was Prime Minister of India, somehow or another he took bribe, he said. And Morarji is a very obstinate, principled Gandhian. You know, he said, how dare you say that? So, this Kapil Sibal was his lawyer, and he came. And the Gujarati Samaj people told me, Maharaj, we want him to speak. You know, I said, wait a minute. You don't know Morarji Desai. He's an impersonalist, Mayavadi. But somehow or another, my superior was there and he told, we should, after all, we are trying to patch up something. What patch up? I said, he's going to offend Krishna. If you allow him to speak, he's going to offend Krishna. So what should we do? At least when I tell you, you have to pull the curtain and close the darshan. At least you should do that. So they says, all right. And Samahanda Maharaj came, he was almost 98 years old at that time. And he was all right. We received him nicely, gave him seat, and then say, okay, we have to go. So, fine. And I said, not on Vyasasana. Mm-hmm. But he's an old man, he can't sit, he can't stand. All the political leaders want to stand, you know, because they, as if they are going to give a big lecture on the dais. You know, they have not, they do not sit and give the class or lecture. They stand and give. Mayavadis do that. Yeah, they are very much fond of, you know, not sitting. Stand means that is a higher position. So, within 2 minutes, he uttered, you know, and I signaled, and the curtains were closed, you know. And I said, now what do you want? I asked my god brothers. Did you hear? He said, yes. So what do you want? You know, do you want him to continue or simply lead the kirtan? And somehow or other we were successful to tell him, cut short, the time is up, now the arthik is going to come. So we have to dissuade him a little bit on the side track, and within 10 minutes his lecture was over. Everybody said, yay! It's very nice. And I said, well, forget it, it's all, you know. So these are impersonalists. Even though they don't understand the deity worship, but they dare to tell. Yesterday we discussed about that there is a deep down envy on the personality aspect. They want to kill the personality. They don't understand this personality. Personality means personal character. They are variegated characters, variegated rasas that can be reciprocated by him simultaneously. And how they can call that he's impersonal and formless? It is not. So, here it is. Krishna, sometimes, okay, the impersonalist accept Krishna as Bhagwan, or they accept his authority. Yet many liberated person cannot understand Krishna as Purushottam. Srila Prabhupada is telling that personality doesn't mean a person, but here it is addressed as Purushottam. Swayam eva atman atmanam vittam tvam Purushottam. You alone, you know yourself by your own internal potency. Your external potency, you are not accessible. Means this maya, worldly energies that are going to be manifesting and you are going to describe, you will not be known. Your personality will not be known. You will be exposed by your own sweet will, because you will be manifesting by your internal potency, not external potency. See, the impersonalists do not distinguish between the internal potency and external. And Mayavadis know only one potency, that is material potency. They know nature. They think Krishna has come in the human form. They have no access. Even how do they explain these verses, it is a questionable thing. But we have to understand, you know, through proper conviction. Don't take it blindly. And Arjuna is trying to use the words, and Srila Prabhupada is picking up those words and systematically explaining us, right? To understand a personality because of commonality, it's not difficult to understand. But to understand him as Purushottam, none of us are Purushottam. So how would you understand And Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? Therefore, this personality can be exposed only to those confidential servants upon whom Krishna is pleased, and he will be revealing himself by his internal potency. That's the logic. You can't twist this much. Impersonalists have no access to the personality. They don't have faith. Not only they don't have faith, but they are envious. They do not have a pure intelligence. Neither they take shelter. So sometimes they accept Krishna, it is just for, get an access to us and make us gullible. Cheating, isn't it? Knowingly, they want to cheat. It's a cheating process. Anybody who comes and tells about Bhagavad Gita in an impersonal way is a cheater, number one. Now, Krishna is saying that therefore Arjuna addresses him as Purushottam, yet one still may not understand that Krishna is the father of all living entities. He is a Purusha, okay? You know within your experience that you are father of one child or two, but Krishna is claiming that he is father of all the living entities. He's the father of even plant, he's the father of even chicken, and he's the father of even dog, and he's the father of all the different species of life. Tasham mahad yonir aham bija pratapita. Sarva yonishu. In each and every species of life. Right? So to understand a person is something common, but to understand the Supreme Person is completely out of their scope of brain. Completely out of scope of them. Therefore Arjun addresses him as Bhutabhava. Because Krishna claims, right, that he is the father of all living entities, therefore he is called Bhutabhava. Bhuta means anybody who is an embodied is called Bhuta. You are Bhuta.
Ghost.
No, we call him ghost. Unmanifested one is called ghost. But manifested is also ghost. You are a Bhuta. I am a Bhuta. And those who are liberated Bhuts, they are called Avadhuts. Is it not? So, Bhuta Bhavana. And if one comes to know him as the father of all living entities, still one may not know him as the supreme controller. Therefore, Arjuna is addressing him here as Bhutesh. Isha means the controller of all the embodied living entities. Alright? The supreme controller of everyone. And even if one knows Krishna as the supreme controller of all living entities, still one may not know that he is the origin of all demigods even. Because if Bhutas are all the living entities, but these are higher chosen living entities, they are called demigods and demons. Alright? So they are very powerful. Very, very powerful. So, Deva Deva. Devasya Deva is Deva Deva. He is the origin, he is the chief of all the Devas. The worshipful God of all the demigods. And even if one knows him as the worshipful God of all the demigods, one may not know that he is the supreme proprietor of everything. Therefore he is called Jagatpati. these words do not leave any accessibility to the Mayavadis or impersonalists. They can't play around with these words. Because these are all attributes of a personality. And Arjuna is addressing not only Purushottam, but all different personalities, functions that embedded in his Purushottam. Because he is all of this, therefore he is called Purushottam. In this way, we can understand that we have to theoretically convince ourselves. Philosophical persuasion should be there. In philosophy, Krishna conscious philosophy will defeat any kind of philosophy. Prabhupada gave the guarantee. Generally, the whole world is infested with Mayavadi and impersonalist philosophy. But this Krishna conscious philosophy is the crown of all the philosophies. Only who wants to play around with it? They must be philosophies. Not philosophers. So, we should follow in the footsteps of Arjuna to understand Krishna as he is. We don't have to understand through an upstart Mayavadi. Upstart means mischievous. Impersonalist, like that. So, anybody has any questions so far?
You just came, you didn't hear even. You have a question.
Looks like he's a sharpshooter.
From yesterday class.
Then you look like a tube light. I switched yesterday. I switched on yesterday and he's asking.
Will be tomorrow.
You have to call me in Brisbane. Alright. Okay, tell. What's your question?
The conspiracy of like man landing on the moon. One of the Indian was also like Rakesh Sharma, was one who went through Russia, I think. So was that also a conspiracy?
No, but he may not have gone more than 500 miles up. Did you ask him? Sharma? You know, he must be from Delhi area. Make a friendship and ask him confidentially. And he will reveal. But he didn't go on moon.
No, he went to space.
But nobody has gone on moon. The logic is that nobody attempted, and only first attempt was successful. Make believe. Anyway, where is the philosophy in it? Prabhupada said it's a waste of time and money. And it was. You saw the staggering figures. $135 billion up to Apollo 11. Just went in the smoke. And the smoke was filled in the brains. There was no fire, no light, only smoke. And the smoke screen was spread out throughout the world by this conspiracy. Smoke screen. And people are still living under this smoke screen. If you become Krishna conscious, you will become totally enlightened. No smoke.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Probably it would be strange. What I've seen through Mahabharata is Krishna came out of Vishnu, and to say Krishna is avatar of Vishnu. So when you say Deva Deva, so I'm a bit confused here. Like, I do believe in God. I mean, God is someone who has to look after us. So what is this correlation? Vishnu, Krishna?
Tattva is one, right?
Yes.
Tattva is one. Okay. It's good enough to understand either way. Because Absolute is Purnam. Whether you go from the bottom or from the top, it is Purnam. Mm-hmm. The Sri Vaishnavites, when they postulated the theistic philosophy to eradicate the Mayavad of Shankarites, you know, they put up the Vishnu Tattva first. Alright? They put up the Vishnu Tattva. And this Vishnu Tattva as the preserver only. They never put up three Vishnus. There are three Vishnus. Because otherwise, you know, the common people will not know anything. So, the Vishishta Advaita is establishing the in bodily conception we are different, but in liberation we will be one with the Lord, not in Sayujya Mukti, but other four Muktis they established. Right? So therefore, that is a Vaikuntha level, therefore Vishnu should be there. That is their goal. So, when Krishna advented, first he had to advent through the Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. And they never explained that part, only Vishnu, who was standing in four-handed form, ready to fight with Sangha Chakra Gada Padma. By request of Devaki, he became a child. But what is the secrecy there? Read Srimad Bhagavatam. Ramanuja did not touch Srimad Bhagavatam. But he did not deny either. You were talking that he rather went through Vedanta philosophy to smash the Advaita Vedanta, monistic of Shankara. So he was successful. People have already faith in the Vedic literature. So therefore, the fifth Veda was the Puranas. So they started putting faith back. And therefore he was able to establish Vaishnavism against the Mayavad, which is nothing but atheistic philosophy. So that was a necessity, and it has been declared. In Padma Purana it has been declared well before Shankara advented himself. Lord Shiva is telling Parvati that I will appear in Kali Yuga as a Brahmin boy to dissuade the people in a wrong way by putting Asat Shastra. Asat means false doctrine, which is called Mayavar, which is in the guise of Buddhism. It's in disguise of Buddhism. Means Buddhism is atheistic philosophy. But Buddhism denied the Vedic authority. I want to establish the Vedic authority. So I have to compromise the philosophy of atheism. But I will make them God by my word jugglery. You follow my point? Mm-hmm. So Shankarite, that has to be, you know, because he was successful to establish the Vedic authority back, then Ramanuja had to advance it further. So therefore he put up Vishishta Dvaita in order to put up. So they established on the one planetary, one universal level, Brahma is the creator, you know, Vishnu is the preserver, and Shiva is the destroyer. But he does. They never clarified which Vishnu is the preserver. Right? That is the third one. Then did not even identify that Paramatma is also the expansion of that third Vishnu. Now, the philosophy did not stand. It has to be much more mature. So Madhva came and established pure dualism. Pure dualism where Atma and Paramatma are eternal and they are existing. Right? This existence is so vital to establish Sanatana Dharma. If the existence is there, then what is their relationship, what is their functionality, and what is the aim of the life? So therefore, Varnashram system and everything was strictly came into its own perspective of pure dualism. That soul is subservient to the Supreme, but the Supreme is all-powerful, and only by His help that His subserviency will be realized and He will be maintained. So Madhva was able to establish pure dualism. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came in the Madhva line to establish Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva of simultaneously oneness and difference in the soul with the Supreme Soul, and establish the eternal occupation of the soul. So Sanatana Dharma can be maintained. So he came to establish this through the power of the holy name. So he spread the holy name. But he showed the highest climax of pure devotion and separation, which was to be understood in this particular Sankirtan movement that he established. So it is the evolution. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to South India and he obtained the fifth chapter of Brahma Samhita, which was very startling to establish the Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead over all origin of everything. And that was what Bhagavad Gita has been corroborating. It's not whimsical that all of a sudden Krishna came as an avatar and he is establishing himself. No. Brahma Samhita declares about his own personal abode above Vaikuntha called Golok Vrindavan. It is part of Vaikuntha, but it is above. And how these expansions are established in Tripada Vibhuti, which is the spiritual existence, it is ever existent, and where Vaikuntha planets in multitude they are floating. There is no Vaikuntha one planet. There are multitude, and it is said that whatever material existence is nothing but little fraction of the total existence, and material existence come into being, sustained for some time and dissolved. So, who are the intermediaries to initiate the creation, sustenance and dissolution at a larger level? For the creation of the material world, the second expansion of Krishna, and Vasudeva, Sankarsana, Pradyumna and Aniruddha, establishes himself as Mahavishnu, the first number Vishnu. Have you heard his name? Called Karnodakshaya Vishnu, read in Srimad Bhagavatam. Karnodakshaya Vishnu glances over the material, inert nature and agitates. That glance is working as a catalyst. Now, therefore the three gunas are found in the material world by the catalytic, conversion. The combination of three gunas, where the prime source of material manifestations. But the jivas simultaneously were entered through the glance, because they had to be placed Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita, Ichha dvesha samuthena dvanda mohena bharata sarva bhutani sammoham sarge andi parantapa. All the living entities, they are part and parcel of him. They were one with him. But the difference in the desire caused a conflict which simultaneously came about with enviousness. Therefore, they have to leave that realm of Krishna consciousness and come to enjoy separately. Therefore, the creation has to be taken place. And when they entered, along with the glance of Mahavishnu, that glance reflected back as lingam. So, transformation is called sadasiv tattva will be there, and that material nature he has to control, that is Durga. So the jivas are entering into the mahatattva, then whatever their inclination is there, they will be given to opportunity through Brahma to come into existence in that particular bhavas. So 8.4 million species of life were created. Otherwise, why would Krishna say that I am the original seed-giving father? So that was the first Vishnu. So they say, Mahavishnu or Karanodakshaya Vishnu, Karan Udak, Udak yana water, in the water of the causal ocean, he takes his position. So when material universes are created, there is some cause behind it. And cause is declared by Bhagavad Gita. Right? So now, it first created multitude of universes, not only one universe. We do not have even enough information about one universe, what to speak of multitude. There are bigger universes. Our Earth is nothing but a very insignificant portion of one galaxy. One galaxy. The Milky Way galaxy, if you take a 110-pound bag of mustard seed, there is one seed called Earth. It's very insignificant. And the jivas are dispersed in each and every space. Those who are, you know, on the Earth space, you know, they are being given different kinds of bodies. All right? So, in each and every universe, the super soul, that is the transformation or an expansion of Mahavishnu will come. That is called second Vishnu, called Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, from whose navel the lotus sprouts and Brahma, the first progenitor, will be begotten. Do you know how many Brahmas are there? You mind-boggling. So how many preservers Vishnu will be there? Mind-boggling. Right? So Paramatma is an expansion of the third Vishnu, who is the preserver in particular universe. You know, besides that Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, he is called Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. Right? So in this way, you see, which Vishnu comes from whom? And who takes place? So ultimately you trace back to Krishna. And you want to understand that example, then try to understand the Krishna Leela, where he ate dirt and Mother Yashoda forcefully wants to open up the mouth. And what does she see?
Whole universe.
And she also sees herself with Krishna in it. Do you know that? Oh, you better check it out. She is seeing. So, it's a wonderful explanation, is that how he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are many Godheads. There are, you know, but there is only one Purushottam. Vishnu Sahasranam is also attributes of Krishna. That's why they are all names of Vishnu. But how many names of Vishnu are there in relationship to the creation of the material universe? So many. But how many names of Lord Krishna will be found in his Leela of Vrindavan? So there are two divisions of the holy names. One is called the name pertaining to the creation of the material universe, and other are his Leela names. Right. What result will it give if you chant the holy name pertaining to material creation?
Liberation.
Only liberation. But if you chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna
Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare,
what will you gain?
Love.
Leela name, love. Prema Pumartho Mahan. Thus Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established the love of Godhead is the Pancham Purushartha. Not Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha, but after. And Krishna asserts that. Only after liberation, Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma na shochati na kankshati samat sarveshu bhuteshu mad bhaktim labhate. The loving devotional service starts after liberation. Don't wait for liberation, start bhakti. And you will get liberation on the way to bhakti. So you can see that there are a lot of intrinsic factors that are exposed only when what is necessary at that particular time. So most of us were brought up by only this so-called trilogy. Brahma, the creator. He is a secondary creator. He is not the creator. We call him engineer. We call him engineer. Brahma is the engineer. But Lord Vishnu, because he is the father, aham sarvam, matah sarvam pravartate, means everything is sustained by him. He is the provider, so he is called maintainer anyway. But he doesn't come into the effect of the modes of material nature. That is the distinction. But Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva does come. They are called gunavataras. Purushavataras, then gunavataras, and then manvantaravataras, then the category of Leela avatars, Shakti Avesh avatars, and so forth and so on. So, the system is given, but who wants to run their brain? They think, let's establish, you know, Hindu Dharma. Hindu Dharma. We are not Hindus. The soul is Hindu. It's man-made Dharma. Do we have this Hindu name in our scriptures? Nothing. Not a single scripture is asserting that we are Hindus. But what kind of pride are we taking, regardless? Unless and until people are envious, then they will keep on even challenging. You are candid enough that you are not understanding, but this is the system, and it is verifiable through the books, through the sadhus and parampara. You know, that the proof is in checking out
personal guru, the lineage, where he got the education, and the third thing is the scriptures, authoritative scriptures. They don't lie. Their pure disciplic succession do not lie, and your teacher will not lie. That is the glory of learning. Got the idea?
Yes.
It's quite elaborate, but now I want you to study. You may spend your lifetime. But you will be blessed. We don't take blindly. Neither we will tell you to take blindly. Everything will be satisfied. Nothing to be left alone. I may be imperfect, but the process I follow is perfect. That my Guru Maharaj used to say. So, you can get verifiability. Immediately ask questions.
Now, we have a lot of new devotees who just started within 1 year, starting to chant, and a lot of them are actually doing it very nicely. A lot of them are having issues, problems, and all that. So, how to create the momentum of enthusiasm? If you can speak about that a little bit for the benefit of all of us.
The benefit is there. You said they just joined 1 year. How is it? They must have done some meritorious activity in their previous life. That's why they are here. And it means their devotional services continue. There is never called beginning. You have already begun long time back. Only thing, you are progressing in the aspect of pure devotional service. So take up the process wholeheartedly. Whatever the obstacles are coming, they will be coming on two accords only. The weakness within our own heart, that will become an obstacle. And second thing, if we have hankering for some petty material things, then we will not value the gem of Krishna consciousness. But Krishna will fulfill both the desire. And let him take care of you properly. But your business is Tesham Satata Yuktanam Bhajatam Priti Purvakam Dadami Yuktiyuvantam Yenam Upayanti. He will give you requisite intelligence to come to. But your business is Satata Yukta, always engaged in chanting and glorifying the Supreme Lord. Do all the activities as a glorification of the Supreme Personality of God. Then, Tesham Nitya Abhiyuktanam Yogakshemam Vahamyaham. That is also. You don't have to worry. Tesham Nitya Abhiyuktanam. So, in this way, if you keep yourself in Krishna consciousness, you will be taken care by Him. He will preserve what you have and provide what you lack. Ananyaschindayanto maam ye janaha pariyupasate tesham nityabhi yuktanam yogakshemam. Krishna is the Supreme Father, and He has a relationship with each and every individual soul. Therefore, this relationship is very supreme. So don't bring anybody else, inferior personality than Him, to have a relationship with Him other way. He doesn't tolerate that. Ananya chintam. Ananya. He can't tolerate anybody else, even though they are his own expansions. Krishna, he said, forget them. I am here. They are my expansions. Don't go after them. You go after me. Nyanti devrata devan pitru nyanti pitru vrata bhutani bhute jayanti matyajinopima. Krishna's personality, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, from whom everything is emanating. So the demigods, the forefathers, the ghost goblins, and him. Who do you want to select?
Krishna
himself. If you select one, Krishna, everybody will be coming in the fold. Because they are his expansions. Some are swamshas, others are vibhinnamshas. But they are all his expansions. Yes.
One question. I may sound skeptical, but or maybe funny.
Okay.
Or fool, but why is there so much stress on man? Lord Krishna says, glorify me, or why should we glorify
Why not? Krishna? Who doesn't like glorification? Everybody likes glorification. It must be giving pleasure, isn't it? But Krishna is glorified by his virtuous deeds, by his virtuous qualities. He has multifarious names because these are all transcendental qualities. And if you glorify him, then you will become more enlightened because you are part and parcel and constitutionally the same in my quality. So those qualities of Krishna will reflect upon you. Don't you think it's a very harmonious combination? Your dependency of your joy depends upon the joy of him. So if you glorify him, you will be glorified. Because this glorification is pleases him, you will be pleased. If you don't want to glorify him, means, but you still want to glorify yourself, it means enviousness. Remove enviousness. Glorify him. Understand him. Then you will glorify him more.
I just read in my childhood that Bhakta Surdas was the real Bhakta of Lord Krishna, Godhead, Lord Krishna. And he described in his glorification about how the Krishna and what is the color of Lord Supreme God Krishna. But I am told that Bhakta Surdas was the blind. And how he can glorify Krishna, that's what I want to know.
Simply by hearing. Do you know he got initiated by Vallabhacharya. So he got the knowledge. If you are knowledgeable, can't you glorify him? So whether you are blind or not, you can still glorify him. The description of Krishna is there. You can paint a picture according to the description. And while glorification is transcendental, if the form of the Lord by glorification that is produced, it's also transcendental. So why not? Everything is possible. Even a blind man can see, is it not?
How can we increase mood of the chanting? Like sometimes mind is flickering during the chanting.
Chant loudly and hammer your mind. Hare Krishna, Hare
Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hammer.
question. This is in relation to karma. I've always been told since from a childhood, like, you know, whatever you do, you get back. So my father told me, our life is like a balance sheet. So when child comes into the real world, his hands are closed, it means God has done zero for his bad things and zero for his good things. And when you go away from this life, we just get dissolved into this air and whatever it is. So, he has to pay for everything. So if he's done something bad, something will happen bad to him. But you just mentioned, we carry stuff, like we're just talking about saying chanting, like, you know, it's been carried from the last life. You have started long time back. So do we carry our karma along with us in the next life?
Yes. It's called prarabdha karma. Unpaid balance will be carried on in the next life. Is it? That's called prarabdha. But in human form of life, by practicing Krishna consciousness, we roast those seeds of karma and they won't germinate in the next life. That is the karmani nirdhati kintu cha bhakti bhagavan. Only for the devotees, their karma will be roasted. Nirdhati. But he must be bhakti bhaja, not bhukti bhaja.
So whatever we did in our last life, that we have to face. But whatever we are going to do now, that will
create the future life. Future. Man is the architect of his own future. Isn't it?
And how can man perform akarma, means like without any balance, like good or bad?
That is called devotional service. That does not produce any reaction. Because whatever you do, whether it will be producing good result or bad result, but you are doing because Krishna ordained, and even though you do not know how to do, but you still make an effort. That's called akarma.
And how do we constantly do akarma?
Chant Hare Krishna. Chant offer prasadam. Yad karoshi yad asnasi yad jahosi yad asti yad tapasyasi kaunte yad akuru swamadarpanam. Offer it to Lord Krishna. An effort to offer itself is devotion. And if you do favorable service to him, you'll be very, very near to him.
Maharaj,
Prabhu,
what is the difference between bhakti and devotional service?
Same. Bhakti. Bhakti comes from bhajat dhatu. That relates to Bhagwan and Bhakt and nobody else. Not even Devata. We do not have bhakti in worshipping the demigods, because there is always an element of transaction. You know? But here is just to please the Lord. You want to take any inconveniences, any risk, just chant Hare Krishna, even people like or not like around you, you know, do. Just to please the Supreme Lord. That is called bhakti. And all our karma can become bhakti, because the aim of our performing varnashram activities, which are prescribed in the Vedas for the satisfaction of the Lord Vishnu, is bhakti. Right? You are not doing varnashram dharma to please demigods. They have also their varnashram. At least they have their ashrams. You know? And they are doing it. They take all the tasks to manage the material affairs on behalf of the Lord.
It's a thankless task.
But they do. However mistakeful their life may be, like Indra, very mistakeful life, but yet he is the king.
Mahaj, can you just explain the in Krishna's pastime in Vrindavan, all the demons that came through, can you explain their significance in perspective for devotees' life?
They are all residing in us. I know a few references. Putana is said to be a false guru. Putana is a false guru. She wants to nurture baby Krishna, but she smears poison on her breast. She may come in disguise. Innocent Yashoda will hand over to her, thinking she is a respectable person. So, but Krishna knows. Krishna wants to fulfill her desire, because in Vaman Avatar, he was so beautiful that Bali Maharaj's sister was anxious to have him as her child. Right? But as soon as Vamandev cheated Bali Maharaj, she became so obnoxiously angry that she wanted to kill him. So here comes as Putana. Krishna fulfilled her desire but sucked out the very life. Right? So, what do we have to understand? In our life, if somebody tries to become an imposter and pose as a guru, it's a cheating process. A false guru is coming to kill Krishna. He is not going to deliver you the Krishna, but he wants to take away Krishna consciousness from you. So, you know, when Putana died, her body was 6 miles long, huge body, you know. But Krishna kept his body the same, about 6 months old baby. Do you know why? Because Krishna did not want his mother, Yashoda, to be frightened. Krishna could have expanded himself more than, you know, Putana. But what would Yashoda think? Do you think Krishna will get love of Yashoda anymore? He is hungry for the love of the devotees. He could have done. But whatever the Rakshasas are, Tranavarta, whirlwind, as the whimsical mind is like whirlwind, we have to control. Yeah. If you become too much contemplative, abstractly, on Krishna's personality, then you will fly like a Tronavart. And you will never settle down till Krishna will choke your throat. Aghasur, the sin personified demon. Aghasur, Putana's brother. And they are all related anyway. And I know Aghasur came from Bharatpur district. I was running orphanage there. And they still have the village called Agapur. And that's what came from there. And there is called Python Point there.
Uh-huh.
And there are a lot of pythons. It's in Brazil. But anyway, same personified. He wants to devour. Everyone wants to kill the personality of God. But they are offense personified. You know, they are agents of cancer. So, these demons, they are interference. They want to disturb the loving affairs of Lord Shri Krishna with his intimate friends, gopas, gopis, cowherds, and, you know, cowboys. Everything. They are all loving exchange in five major rasas. There are no minor rasas to be included. Vrindavan is the rasa bhumi of five principal rasas. Right? So, it is not that Krishna kills. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He has nothing to do. He doesn't kill. He expands himself in the Vasudeva form. The first expansion to kill. He doesn't do himself. Krishna has four forms. Vasudeva, Pradyumna, Aniruddha. Sankarshan, Pradyumna and Aniruddha. His four forms are his expansion. And through them, he gets the work done. You know? But Krishna's original form is only found in Vrindavan. Outside, Krishna expands himself. It's not that there is a different Krishna in Mathura and Dwarka, there is another Krishna. No. That is Vasudeva form. Because nobody knows in Vrindavan Krishna is Vasudeva. They all know him as Yashoda Nandan. They do not know that he is Devaki Nandan. That is Mathura business. and there he has a function to annihilate the miscreants and establish the principles of religion. While in Vrindavan, that is his eternal dham. Only love exists, nothing else exists. Anybody, any envious person wants to disturb the love of Lord Krishna, then Krishna will do it anyway. Eradicate. They have no entry, no accessibility. One cannot go and exist as an envious entity. So why should these envious entities stay within our mind? And we cannot establish Lord Krishna in our heart as firmly as possible. Therefore, they are sort of anarthas, and they must be eradicated. Anarthas become personified offenses. Then you better. So, always be reminded of the offenses never to commit, and otherwise they will manifest as demons. Yeah.
Manaj, what is the karma in terms of chanting the name and helping or adopting a child in Ethiopia or something? Is there a karma?
There is no karma there.
Yeah.
There is no karma in Ethiopia. You are helping a child which is helpless, right? But it's going to bind you by even the mode of goodness. You may think that you do not have a child, let me take. And this child will be also protected, right? So, it is action in mode of goodness is this. But the hidden motivation is pleasure.
Bind you.
Sukha sangena badnati. Sukha sangena badnati. Let's see. What does it say? In Bhagavad Gita, the 16th chapter,
Sukha Sangena Badnati Jnana Sangena Chanada. These are the actions of mode of goodness. And because that creates a bondage, therefore it is not in a karma.
Your mobile encyclopedia of Bhagavad Gita here.
Yeah.
Six. Krishna is telling Sattvam Rajastamiti Guna Prakriti Sambhava. Nivadnanti Mahabaho Dehi Dehinam Avyayam. Material nature consists of three modes, goodness, passion and ignorance. When the eternal living entity comes in contact with the nature, O mighty Am Arjun, he becomes conditioned by these three modes. Alright. Tatra Sattvam Nirmalatvat Prakasham Kamanamayam Sukha Sangedha Badnati Jnana Sangena Chanaga. O sinless one, the mode of goodness, being purer than others, Rajogun and Tamogun, purer than these two, it is illuminating, and it frees one from the sinful reactions. Fine. But those situated in that mode become conditioned by a science of happiness and knowledge. For bhakti, that is transcendental, there is no necessity of knowledge. Actually, knowledge becomes an impediment in bhakti. It should be a byproduct, not a requisite. It automatically comes. It is not a pre-requirement. So, a karma is an action of bhakti. A karma means there is no bondage. But here the bondage is there. You can imagine, if you adopt a child from Ethiopia, what will happen? You'll be like Bharat Maharaj. Right? You'll be like Bharat Maharaj, who is giving up everything for the Lord and sat down on meditation, but a little deer came by and he was helpless. Right? And he thinks he's the father and mother of the deer, and he became totally absorbed in the consciousness of deer instead of Krishna. So do you think Krishna will approve? Instead of his consciousness, the consciousness of an Ethiopian child. No, the higher principle is that you may help a child as prasadam and convert the child into Krishna consciousness, then it will be a challenge for you. Do it. Save yourself and child's self. Alright? Many devotees have adopted children just to post them. But sometimes it is very hard because the modes inherent genetically or whatever it is, they spring up. Even though you take a lot of care, but you know, when it is happening and can't control, you have to set him free without attachment.
That's a practical thing. If you are doing as a duty to serve God, then do not be attached. Right? Generally we do because there is some attachment by seeing the pathetic condition, but it is a material condition. On other behalf, there is an incident in the life of Yamunacharya. He's a great saint, predecessor of Ramanujacharya. His mother was insisting, you get married. You know, that's the ideal ashram. And he was so detached. He said, what do I do? You know, just to please his mother, he got married. But he was so detached that he thought, well, I have to fulfill all the obligations. So, mother was insisting that you become a father. Then what happened? His wife gave birth to a baby and she died. So what is this entanglement? Does he have to get remarried? Does he have to raise the child? He's a liberated person. The other family members were there, but he was so much confused, but he was praying ardently to Krishna, please help. So at that time, he saw a house lizard on the wall, you know, somehow or another in the pain and was putting up on the shelf she laid an egg long time back. Alright? The lizard generally lays the eggs. So somehow or another she was old and she happened to come on the edge, dropped the egg, and she died because she also fell. And from the egg cracked up. But little lizard came up because it must be mature. The mother died and the little lizard is there. But he was drawn to see this incident. A little lizard, as soon as it came out, was looking for his mother and it created little sympathy in him. But before that, a little insect came and that little baby lizard popped his mouth and put it in his mouth. So Yamunacharya laughed immediately. If Krishna has provided right in the birth, he will provide this child. And bye-bye. Because he was detached. He had all the family members, mother and the... They were at age. Okay, you take care. I'm going. In this way, you know, this is a famous story for them. It doesn't mean that he was heartless or this or that. Something is a superior element of a liberated person that he is on a transcendental mode, not in the mode of goodness. Soul is always transient by its inner characteristic. But because he is confined into the body and bodily conception can drag up to more of goodness. That's a good vehicle, but it will not liberate you. Jnana sangena jnana. But sukha sangena badnati. Sukha sanga. This mode is going to make you associate with happiness. An idea of happiness. So it will bind you. That's it. What is better? Tell me. Keep liberating. If you want to get liberated after that grilling experiences, better do it now.